All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Today, I have a special guest joining me today, and we're going to have a conversation about karate. And today, I'm joined by Gakuji Tozaki, one of our friends and a U.S. national team member. Can you go ahead and say hi to everybody?
Hello, everyone watching the Apex channel. I hope everyone's doing great. My name is Gakuji Tozaki. I am the Team USA senior team for kata. Currently first seed in Team USA, ninth in 2020 Olympic ranking, 18th in the world ranking right now, 15th in the Olympic ranking. So I'm just really happy to be able to talk about my karate and I hope it helps everyone, my experience in the past and all that stuff. So
all right, excellent. Well, let's kind of just jump right into it. Can you give us a little bit of background about yourself?
So I currently practice Ryu. I'm under Arashiro Sensei in San Diego. But before that, I started off in Shitoryu. So my background is actually Shitoryu katas. And after that, I transitioned over to Arashiro Sensei, Arashiro Sensei's guidance, and now I study Ryu. And on top of that, I practice Shorinryu katas under guidance of Hiromi Inagaki, currently Hiromi Sakamoto in Okinawa, and several other senseis that assist me in teaching Shorinryu katas. So my background is Shitoryu, but I also practice Ryuryu, Goju-ryu, and Shorinryu katas. So I practice four styles currently.
Well, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I myself have come from a varied background, so I think it can be an asset when you have a variety of different experiences to draw on.
Yeah. So there's I learned a lot from different styles. They're all different, and if you're looking at it from like a third person perspective, you don't really see that difference. But as you dive deep into that style, and when you actually start learning it, there's small differences that make that style very unique. So that I really enjoy by practicing katas and actually learning from senseis from different styles. So it's really cool.
Excellent, excellent. And in fact, that's, you know, I joke about that with one of my friends who practices Okinawan Goju-ryu, is that, you know, coming from a Shitoryu background myself, originally, that, you know, there's Shitoryu is already an amalgamation. It's several different, you know, Shurite and Tomarite kind of put together. So it's almost that Shitoryu allows you to have, I wouldn't say maybe an open mind, but more ability to or flexibility to look at some other things.
Yeah. So yeah, as many of the people know, Shitoryu is a combination of Itosuryu and Higaonna-ryu styles. So Shurite and Nahate. So they're the two styles put together make Shitoryu. So that's why Shitoryu has a bunch of different katas. I think it has the most katas out of all the styles. So it makes that style very unique because it has both fast katas and slow katas. So I think that's why Shitoryu becomes very versatile when it comes to katas. Versus where Goju-ryu is mostly rooted stance, close quarter fighting, you know, like they focus a lot on grounded techniques. And Ryuryu is somewhat similar to Goju-ryu because Nakai Masoke actually learned under Goju-ryu instructors also in the past. So that's why all the backgrounds are kind of similar. And Shorinryu is obviously from like Tomarite and all that, like quick katas. So that's why I think it was good that I had that Shitoryu background, because I was able to transition to different styles and learn different perspectives of that style, because I was able to transition from fast to slow and slow to fast, and it made it easier for me. So
excellent. Excellent. So, and you mentioned that you mentioned that you practice UADU right now, and I think I don't know that we met, but we were together at the same event a very long time ago, back in 2000, when Sakamoto sensei came to the United States and did a seminar with a big group from Okinawa.
And that was a long time ago.
And in fact, it was at that seminar that I met a gentleman who actually kind of put me on the path that I'm on now to train under my current sensei. So it was very very fortuitous event, but we were there at the same time, though I don't know that we spoke that long ago.
Yeah, 2000, so I was what, like 9 years old? So I know I was practicing, but I don't know if I knew what I was doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, let's kind of dive in, and let's you said you're on the US national team now. Can you tell me, you know, or tell us about, you know, how you got started competing and how you ended up on the US national team and kind of a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, so now I'm in the senior team, so many people think that Gaku was good from the past, and you know, he practiced kata a lot and he was very good, but you know, I hear a bunch of stuff like that, but it's not really like that. I mean, I started when I was 9, so I had a late start, I think. And I started because I had a friend that practiced karate, and it wasn't karate, it was like that. It was more close to kung fu.
Okay.
So in the United States, it's very, very common, right?
Right. Like
you see a karate sign, but when you actually go to the dojo, they're practicing like kung fu or taekwondo. They name all that martial arts karate, you know, like I don't know why, but it is what it is. And so I saw my friend do that. He actually performed at a assembly back in my elementary school, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever because he was breaking boards and he was kicking all over the place, and I was like, okay, I have to do that, you know, like I saw that and I was like, okay, I want to join him one day.
Right.
But so he was in this club for after school program. So I was like, I wanted to join his program. But then my mom's like, oh, you know, we had this after school thing. So she didn't want to like take time off of that, you know, like so she had to find a dojo. So I had two dojos nearby my house, and one of them was United Studios, and other one was my Shitoryu Dojo, right?
Okay.
And then we end up going to the Shitoryu Dojo because the sign said San Diego Japan Karate Do, and then underneath that there was a kanji writing.
Okay.
Zen Nihon Karate Do Shitoryu.
Right. All right.
And then yeah, so my mom saw that and she was like, oh, okay, it says Nihon. Okay, I'm gonna go. Right. You know, so the only reason why I chose that dojo is because she saw that Japanese writing.
Right.
And then I'm very thankful that she made that decision, because if she didn't, then I would be practicing some of the other styles. So that's how I started karate. I saw my friend breaking boards and I was like, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then there's other things too, but that was the biggest like influence. I loved to watch kickboxing when I was young. I saw K-1. K-1 was the biggest thing in Japan. I went to one of the Grand Prix in Las Vegas.
Oh, did you?
In Bellagio. Yes, I did. And that's when Stefan Leiko,
okay,
he is a guy from Germany, and he knocked out Peter Arts with the right straight. And then that's when Bob Sapp was there too, and it was really cool because I didn't know back then, but Bob Sapp was there, and then he intimidated Mike Tyson or something. So Mike Tyson was there too. And then I found out that Michael Jordan was there too at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So I was in this arena with Mike Tyson and Michael Jordan and all these K-1 stars, and I was like, I found out like several years ago actually, so I was like, oh wow, like if I knew, I would have looked for them, and you know, like it'll be really cool. But yeah, so I was really into kickboxing. I was that much into kickboxing. So That was one of the reasons why I started too. I really loved Andy Hoog.
Andy Hoog, okay.
He was...
Yeah, Kyokushin. Yeah,
Andy Hoog was Kyokushin. He was the coolest guy ever. He walked in the ring with the gi, and I was like, dude, like, what is this guy? And he kicks like crazy.
Yeah, his Kakato Otoshi.
Kakato Otoshi is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, it hits everyone, and everyone goes down after, you know, like... He was cutting people down with his heel, and I was like, oh man, I really want to do that.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember watching K1 when I was an exchange student living in Nagoya, and it was on TV all the time and everything like that. So, you know, it brings back pretty good memories about watching those fights on Japanese television, and, you know, Hicks and Gracie fighting and all of that stuff was that same time frame. Yeah.
With Sakuraba, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sakuraba.
So, yeah, I loved watching K1 and Pride. It was the reason why I started karate. Yeah. Like, I wanted to be just like them, right? And then, so that's how I started. That's how I jumped into karate. So it's really funny because I went into the dojo, and then I was like, Sensei, when am I breaking boards? You know, like, come on, like, bring me some boards, right? So, but it turns out, obviously, you walked into the dojo, first thing you learn is how to block and how to punch and how to kick, right? So I started off practicing agiukas first, and I was like, what is this? Like, you block? Like, what is this? Like, what am I going to do with this? You know, like, so, because obviously I was watching kickboxing. I was, like, ready to hit people, right? So... I was like, forget about this, sensei. Like, I wanna do sparring. And my sensei was like, no. Like, you're gonna do kata, and you're gonna do sparring after that, right? So it turns out I was a white belt for like, I think it was like 3-4 months, I guess. And then I had this promotion test coming up, and I was like, okay, I learned my katas, and I'm just gonna do my kata. And then so my sensei, he surprised me with a sparring test.
Yeah.
So he was like, hey, Gaku, you said you wanted to spar. You're going to spar today. So during my promotion test was the first time I sparred people.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know anything about sparring because he didn't show any of that in white belt class. So I was like, all right, sensei. And like, my background knowledge is all K-1, right? So...
How did that turn out?
Hajime, and then I just go, like, I start swinging at people, right? So my first technique that I did on my senpai was actually kakato otoshi, because that's all I knew. Like, I knew Andy Hoog, and then I tried to punch, like, Jerome Lebonair, and it was crazy. And then my sensei was like, Gaku, like, you said you didn't know anything about karate, but how do you know all this? And I was like, sensei, I watch K-1. Like, I know what to do, right? So I started fighting my senpais, and I actually did pretty well. And then I jumped a rank, actually. I went from a white belt to a blue belt. I didn't get an orange belt. I just went straight to blue belt. And my sensei was like, Gaku, you're going to be really good, you know? Because he really liked my aggressiveness, because I was really aggressive. I wanted to fight, so... but obviously I didn't know the rules, so I had to fight by the rules. My sensei was always yelling at me because I was swinging at the face when I couldn't. Yeah, I was just a very dangerous kid when I was little. And so I started competing after that when I was about 10. But I never won. Like, I forgot my katas during competitions. Like, I changed my katas last second. You know, like, I was like, I just went by the flow, you know, like, I didn't, like, what I practiced during, like, at the dojo, it didn't come out, because I was like, you know, like, I just do whatever I want to do, you know, like, tournament was nothing to me, so it was like, it didn't really fire me up, you know, and then, so, I never won. Like, for, I think the first couple of years, I think 1 or 2 years, I never won. I never won a medal in both kata and kumite. Okay. Kata, because I just didn't think it was fun. I didn't think kata was fun at all. But kumite, I always got disqualified. I always got disqualified. I tapped the face, boom, penalized, and I was out. And then my sensei was like, Gaku, you never learn. And then I was like, sensei, but I didn't hurt the kid. I know I couldn't hit the face, but I didn't hurt him. Like, I like made a little bit of contact, but I didn't right. hurt him. Right? So my sensei was like, Gaku, but you have four chances to not get disqualified. Why do you take that four chances? You know, like, and I was like, sensei, I just wanted to, I want to fight, you know, like, but I never made any good results. So that's when my sensei was like, okay, start taking kojins with me.
Okay.
You know, I'll put more effort into your karate so that you have a chance to win and actually win a medal. So I started getting kojin lessons with my sensei. And I think the first kata that I started really putting effort in was hand shoran or okay. something. I think it was hand shoran. So I started gradually getting better. And then finally with hand godan, I won my first silver medal. I think that time, that tournament, my senpai got a gold and then I got a second place. And I was the happiest kid in the world, right? Because I never got a medal, but I came back with a silver medal. And kumite, I got disqualified, so I never learned in kumite. But yeah, but in kata, I won my first silver medal, and I was super happy. Like, I still have that medal, actually.
Okay.
It's hanging in my room. It was the reason why I kept on competing. And that's when I thought, oh, competing is actually really fun, and winning medals is a really fun thing to do, you know. So that took me a while, and I think when I was 12, that's when I competed my first nationals, AU nationals in Salt Lake City, and that's when I finally actually won first place in kumite.
Okay.
And first place in kata.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got a double gold for the first time at nationals.
And that was at about 12 years old?
That was at 12 years old. I think it was like 2001 or... No, that's not right. 2002, 2003, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, Salt Lake City. It was the coolest thing ever. My sensei was like, Gaku, good job. You know, like, because he always knew me as the kid that never won a gold... never won a medal in kumite because I always got disqualified, right? But I was walking around with my two medals and I was like, sensei, I got two medals, right? So my sensei was really proud of me. He was really happy. So that's when I really started putting effort into competing when I was 12. So that was like a really huge turning point for me because that's when I really knew, like, oh, I had something right going on, you
right.
know, like, I never won first place until then. So I was like, okay, I really know what I'm doing. I know I really enjoy this. So I knew like karate was what I wanted to pursue when I was at 12.
So let me ask you a question real quick then.
Yeah.
When you had that period of 2 years, and obviously you were still very young, but you had this period of about 2 years to where you weren't yeah. winning anything. And did that, mm-hmm. did that, I guess not winning or that victory or maybe that I wouldn't say losing, but that not winning, did that like inspire you? Like, did you want to keep pushing more, or was it you were just doing it and then when you won and then you realized that it was something that you wanted to do, or was there, how was that working for you?
So, I've tried many sports
yeah.
in the past. So I did every single sport you can think of. So I did like basketball, soccer, I even did like fishing at YMCA. Like I did a bunch of sports, right? So, and I was actually able to do most of them. But to me, it wasn't fun.
Right.
Right. Like, I think it was because I was able to do most of the stuff that I was told to do.
Right.
But when it came to karate, like I always got disqualified. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what these were, you know, like, there was a lot of things I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. So I was, I didn't really know what I was doing. And that's probably why I really enjoyed it. Because I learned every single time I practiced. So that really, like, ignited my interest in karate. because like you see a lot of major sports on TV and all that stuff, but you never see karate, right?
Right.
That really put my interest in karate because I didn't know what it was. There was a lot of like mystery behind that sport, right? So so to me, winning and losing wasn't really like a big thing. It wasn't everything,
right?
So to me, like, I really enjoyed the learning part, and I really enjoyed the practice at dojo because I actually got to fight people. I was learning every time, and my sensei was really proud of what I was doing, right? So when I did all those sports, I was able to do it, but a lot of those coaches didn't really compliment what I was doing. But karate was the first sport where I wasn't able to do, I shouldn't say sport, it was the first martial art where I didn't know what I was doing. And however, if I learned something, my sensei really, he cherished that I was actually learning and improving.
Okay.
So my sensei really did a good job in motivating me to practice every time. So again, it wasn't really about winning or losing. It was really about me actually enjoying the actual practice component of karate.
Okay.
So when I there's obviously times where I don't do well at competitions, I try to remember why I kept on practicing. So that's what I do. If I get, you know, if I lose my motivation, I look back and I'm like, dude, it wasn't really about winning or losing when I was 9,
right,
or 10. Like, why can't I have that same mentality right now?
Right.
You know, like, okay, I sucked at this one tournament. Okay, what do I do about it? I have to learn. And that's the same thing. Like, when I started karate, I learned and I improved. It's the same thing. I have to go back, really go back to the drawing board, see what I have to improve on, and then once I improve, then that's when the results come. So I just had to be patient in times where I wasn't really making any results. So
that's excellent, and I appreciate how you just tied that into what you were doing when you were very young to what you were, mm-hmm, what you are still doing now as a national team member,
yeah,
as an elite athlete. And so,
yeah,
when you were 12 and you won that double gold at UAA Nationals, right? Is that what you use? UAA Nationals?
Yeah.
AAU Nationals.
Yeah.
What happened after that? What did you do after that?
Yeah, so it was really crazy because I think I was 12 and I was a green belt. I competed green belt in my first Nationals. And in 4 years, when I was 16, that's when I make my first senior team appearance.
Okay.
So in that 4 years, a lot of things happened. First of all, when I was 13, I competed in my first black belt division. So I didn't compete brown belt. I jumped straight into black belt division, and all because my senpais didn't have a team kumite member. And my sensei was like, hey, you need a third person. And then my sensei looks over and he sees me practicing kata. And he's like, hey, we have that guy right there. And I'm a green belt,
yeah,
right? And my sensei was like, hey, Gaku, you want to compete black belt? And I was like, yeah, why? And the sensei was like, okay, you're going to compete black belt next year. And I was like, what?
And that was for Team, right, Kumite?
Team Kumite and all kata and kumite. So like my next Nationals was gonna be black belt, and I was like, wait, so I'm gonna compete with all my senpais? Like, to me, that was like something like outlandish. Like, I didn't know what he was talking about, but all I thought about was me putting on my black belt, and I was like, yeah, black belt, you know, like. So yeah, so that was that. I competed my first black belt division when I was 13, and that tournament, I was so ready to get double gold, right? And it turns out I had a kid from IKF Hawaii in my division.
Georgia school.
And then he won, yeah, Sensei Georgia school. And then I remember his name. His name was Jacob.
All right.
And Yeah. So Jacob was in my division, and then he beat me in both kata and kumite. So I got double silver that year.
Okay.
So that really, like, I was so mad that I got double silver. But I got a gold in Team Kumite, and then I did Team Kata too, and I got a gold in that. But I was so mad that I got double silver in individual. So that really fired me up for another, that kind of, like, raised my motivation level to get better in karate. So after that, I was put into AAU junior national team. And on that national team, we traveled to Japan to compete at Dojo Senbatsu tournament.
Okay.
And it turns out it is a tournament hosted by Yokosu Sensei.
Okay.
And Yokosu Sensei is actually the person that's hosting the junior team camp in Japan, that which I will probably talk about later.
Right.
And I'm working with him right now. So it was really cool because I competed at a tournament that was hosted by a person I'm working with right now. So I made a whole, like, full circle.
Well, that's some of the best things about karate is you may meet somebody and then you never know where that karate journey is you're gonna cross paths with them again. And those opportunities present themselves because of karate.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really cool. So I competed in my first Dojo Senbatsu tournament and also at the Goodwill tournament that was also hosted by IKF Hawaii in Tokyo.
Okay.
So it was back-to-back tournaments. It was a Goodwill tournament and then Dojo Senbatsu tournament the next day. So I got double silver again in Japan. I actually beat Jacob in Japan. So that tournament was several months after AAU Nationals, so I was super happy that I beat Jacob in both kata and kumite. But I lost to a student actually taught by Tsuki Sensei, who is another person that I'm working with right now. So I competed against his student, and he ended up getting double gold. So he was very good. So when I saw him at the time, I was like, dang, this kid is good. Right? He was both good in kata and kumite, so I was like, man, if I'm gonna lose, it's only gonna be to this guy, right? So, I ended up getting double silver, and then the next day, Dojo Senbatsu tournament, I ended up getting third place in kata. I lost in kumite, but I got third place in kata. I think there was about 125, 126 competitors, and it was rounds, so I did like eight katas.
Wow.
So. It was ridiculous. So I started with, I think the rule was you had to do two heian katas, two shite katas after that, and it was tokui katas after that. So it was back then when I had shite, sente, and tokui. So I did heian nidan, heian shodan, I think. Heian nidan, heian shodan. And then after that, I did basai dai seinchi for my shite katas. And after that, I did nipaipo and Shihou Kosokun, and I switched out Nipaipo Shihou Kosokun, Nipaipo Shihou Kosokun. And then I end up losing to the guy that got gold at the Goodwill tournament in my semifinals. So that's the guy I got third. So I was like, oh man, I lost. So I did Shihou Kosokun against, his name is Suda, Suda-kun. So I lost to Suda with Shihou Kosokun the day before. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do Nipaipo against him this time. So I didn't need by point. I lost 2-1. So I was like, oh man. But that was my first international tournament experience. And that's when I learned, oh wow, like training in international competitions is fun.
Right.
So that was another like cool experience for me that really made me think competition is really fun. I got to meet a bunch of friends on the national team. I got to meet a bunch of friends in Japan. Because I'm bilingual in both Japanese and English, so I was able to talk both Japanese and English. I was able to make a bunch of friends, right? They were like, oh, what is that guy? He's Japanese, but he wears a USA patch. You know, like, what is that guy? You know, like, and I was like, oh, I'm actually Japanese. You know, like, and then they were like, what? And then, yeah, it was really fun. And after that, I started going to gashikus in Japan, hosted by Yokose Sensei, who was the host of the Dojo Senbatsu tournament. And then that's when I went to Junior Nippon for the first time, which is the junior team training camp. Junior Nippon is the name of the training camp. So,
how old were you at that time? 14? 13,
I think
14?
I was around 14, 13 or 14. Yeah, so I've known Yokose Sensei since then. And I was a big troublemaker. I was the messiest kid. I did not clean up anything after myself. So it was funny because Yoko Sensei was like, if you follow paths of lost clothes, it always leads up to me. So it's like breadcrumbs. You pick up breadcrumbs and it leads to someone. It's the same with me. You pick up all these socks and boxers and shorts and t-shirts, it leads to me. Yoko Sensei was like, I had to pick up after you, fold all your clothes and put it in your suitcase. So it was crazy. I was a crazy kid, but now he's generous enough to let me work with him. So I really thank him for his guidance. So yeah, that's when I started actually learning from all these senseis from Japan. So that's when I met Tsuki Sensei, Hasame Sensei, who is the coach of Vietnam.
Okay.
She taught Nguyen.
Okay. Former world champion.
Yeah. So, yeah, world champ. She's two-time world champ or something. So he taught her a bunch of katas. And yeah, so he was part of the training camp too. I met Yokose Sensei, Kawakami Sensei. He's the WKF referee committee member. Yeah, I just met a bunch of senseis there. And I trained with them. And now I'm working with them, which is cool. And in 16, I kept on competing AU. That's when I got like 6 golds and 1 silver or something at AAU Nationals. I like won every single division. And then, but I hurt my leg during Kumite. Like I bumped shins.
Okay.
Because he was a southpaw and I was an orthodox fighter. So we clashed and then his knee rammed into my knee and my knee hyperextended and I was like, oh crap, I can't fight anymore. And then I was injured, but that's the first year I actually went to NKF Nationals when I was 16. So I go to NKF Nationals and it turns out there's only one team signed up for Team Kata. So I had my senpais there and then me, my senpais were actually preparing to compete in Team Kata, but I hurt my leg. So I was like, oh man, I can't do it anymore, right? So my senpais were like, oh, it's okay, totally fine. And then it turns out there's only one team. So I was like, dude, should I do it? Because if I make that team, we were able to go to 2008 World Championships,
right,
in Tokyo. So I was like, oh man, like if I actually bust my butt right now, like I will be able to compete in world championships,
right,
that year. So I was like, I'm gonna do it. But it turns out I didn't bring my gi because I was hurt. I was like in my knee brace and all that stuff. So I wasn't even prepared to compete. I didn't have a gi. So I had a friend from IKF Hawaii. She was a girl that was about my same size. And then she was like sitting next to me. So I was like, her name was Sarah Hori.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, Sarah, can I borrow your gi and your belt? And she was like, yeah, like why? And then I was like, I'm gonna compete like right now. So it turns out I took her gi, a girl's gi. I wore her gi and I competed and we won. So we were gonna actually go to world championships because we took first place. And then it turns out, since we did so well, Mr. Jake Lees. Mr. Jake Lees saw our performance and he was really impressed. So he was like, hey guys, do a demonstration during finals. And I was like, are you serious? Right? And then he said, do kata and bunkai.
Mm.
And we didn't have a bunkai.
Right.
So I remember, we actually thought of a bunkai the night before and we had to perform it at the finals, right? And again, I borrow Sarah's gi. I wear her gi like it's mine, but it's not. And we actually did Anan, and we performed our bunkai, which was pretty good, actually. It wasn't bad, because we had this basic like framework of our bunkai, but it wasn't perfect.
Right.
So we were like, okay, let's practice it, let's finalize it, and let's do it. Right? So that was 2008. And I made the senior national team for the first time when I was 16. I wore a girl's gi. And that's how I got onto the senior team. So I made the senior team for the first time for competing in Team Kata.
And so did you guys end up going to the World Championships that year?
Yeah, we went to Tokyo, which I thought was the coolest thing. We competed in the Budokan. And it was the coolest experience. We actually lost in the first round because my senpai lost balance. And I was so mad. Because I was so ready to at least go against like Italy and Japan, you know, like I was like, if I'm gonna lose, I'm gonna lose against all these Italians and Japanese guys, right? Because I knew like those guys were the best.
So right? let me. I want to go off topic for just a minute as a former Team Kata member myself, who competed at the World Championships and PKF and everything. Mm-hmm. So now you are an individual athlete, and.
Yes,
can you tell a little bit some of the differences or the difficulties in competing as a team versus individual kata?